When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna.
I remember the second time I went to visit the Hare Krishna temple. I had been back in Wexford for about 3 months, and I felt like I wanted to go and get some peace and quiet and just get into a spiritual atmosphere where I could sit and think and make some decisions in life. So I went up to the temple, and as I was going up, the devotees were running out the door, getting into their van and going to the Rose of Tralee festival, which wasn't exactly what I geared myself up for. But anyway, I got caught up in the slipstream and ended up in the Rose of Tralee festival. I'd never been in Tralee in my life. So I was, it was all new experience. I was with the Hare Krishna. It was a completely different atmosphere altogether. So they went chanting in the streets every day for up to 5 hours. And then I remember one day particularly, I was wearing the yellow tilak mark on my forehead because I, just got caught up with staying with them. And I was walking behind the chanting party, but there's a whole lot of people dancing with the kirtan, with the devotees, and the whole street was practically dancing, so I just got into dancing as well. And I was right beside the devotees at this stage. And then someone tapped me on the shoulder. I turned around, it was a girl from Wexford that I knew. And then I looked around, and half of Wexford was there, my girlfriend, and everyone would all stand there with their mouths open looking at me. She says, "Oh, look, it's Timmy." So I said, I just happened to be here. I didn't know you were coming, and I was trying to fob it off. And then she said, "Oh, look, the mark on his forehead, he's one of them." So then all the mortification and embarrassment kind of passed, and I just accepted that, yeah, I was one of them. I was into being a Hare Krishna.
One of the fondest memories of my life is a day back in 1964 when I got a phone call from Mount Carmel Hospital to say that I had, or my wife had, rather, our first daughter.
Anne was a particularly inquiring child, as I say. We used to call her the Why Child because she was always looking for answers to everything.
I first met the Hare Krishnas when I was in University College Dublin studying social science. The Hare Krishnas used to have a stall at the Friday market there, a vegetarian stall. So I suppose my first experience of the Haris was through my belly. And then from then on, my contact grew with them, sort of on and off. It was very vague in my college years. I used to go to the Sunday feast every week, and that was a free meal, and that was really the reason I went for it.
At the moment, we're preparing the Sunday feast. Every Sunday we have this program where we invite guests to come and they hear a bit about the philosophy, because there's so many people, although they've heard of the Hare Krishnas, they don't really know anything about it, so we invite them to come every Sunday. And we serve a big vegetarian feast. That's partly, so that people can see that vegetarian food can be very varied and very tasty, not that it's just nettle soup and salad and boring things like that. So we have to start quite early on Sunday, so that's why we're here now. All the preparations for the Sunday feast, we serve about 8 different preparations. They're all offered to the deities, the deity of Krishna, in the temple room. The plates, we have different plates for the deities, and each preparation is put on the plate, just as you would serve it to anybody, say any important person, like a king or queen or anything like that. You try and make it as nice as possible, look as attractive as possible, and be as tasty as possible. So the deities have tables and chairs on the altar. That's just to help us to understand that they're persons, not that they actually go and sit on them, but, we meditate like that so that we can understand that Krishna's actually a person. And So the plates are put on the tables, and then different mantras are chanted, different prayers to the spiritual master, and in glorification of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, they're recited. And then the deities are left for a certain period, 20 minutes usually, and then the pujari, the priest, will go back and take away the plates, and that's how the food's offered to Krishna.
I'm studying for the priesthood. I am with a religious order myself. I've just finished my studies in theology and have to complete a fourth year pastoral year next year. And I'm a year older than Anne. My sister was born on the same day. We share the same birthday, but I'm a year older than her. I'm not sure when she first mentioned the Hare Krishnas. My recollection is the first I heard of it was when she was already involved in it. So I don't think there was any case of prior preparation, or she'd been thinking about it, or she'd been mulling it over in her mind. I think I found out that she'd already joined, and that's when I heard about them. And that she kind of had kept it to herself, and I presume she got involved on the fringes and then found herself becoming more involved, and that's when I heard about it. When I think she'd at least gone up to stay with them or had some kind of sporadic contact with them.
In one of her letters, the first mention of the Hare Krishnas was through their vegetarian food. She was always wanted to be a vegetarian, but didn't succeed at home. And she used to go, they, I think, used to serve food in UCD because that's where she came across them. And then I think somebody introduced her to, they had these Sunday feasts, but she didn't go to one of those for some time. I didn't take much notice, like, I didn't think too much about it. I just thought this isn't just something she's going through in college, like, it didn't alarm me then.
I still didn't know much about the philosophy, although when I asked about the vegetarianism, they explained to me their reasons, which I found fascinating, and they made a deep impression on me. See, I'd always been a lover of animals, and I never understood why animals were always a peripheral part of Catholicism and nature too, actually. For me, animals were just little personalities, just like human beings. They were less intelligent, but they were really not that much different, apart from their bodies, than humans. And yet I could never understand why there was never a place for them in Catholic philosophy. And I mean, this always troubled me for years. There was never any standard teaching in this regard or about animals. And when I came to the Hare Krishnas, I put these same questions to them, and it was explained exactly in a way that felt completely right and truthful to me. They said, yes, animals do have souls. In fact, all living beings, all living entities have souls. In fact, a soul is a life force, or the energy force within, which comes from God, and, you know, which makes an inanimate object animate. And for me, that was it. That was just it. And this was something that I'd known all along intrinsically without actually having the knowledge to explain it.
We call God Krishna. It's one name for God. God has unlimited names because God is by nature unlimited. So when we hear other people calling God Allah or Buddha or Jehovah, our consideration is that it's the same God that we all worship, but we worship him from different angles of vision. So therefore we're going to see him differently. Like if you look at someone from the front or the back, your description will be different. It's not a different person, and there's no need to argue about it.
As a child, God was always a part of our lives. My parents were both practicing Catholics, and my mother especially, placed a lot of emphasis on prayer and family prayer, and we all used to kneel down at night and say our prayers together, and before we went to sleep, when Mum would come and tuck us in, she'd say our prayers with us. So I suppose the nighttime darkness was bridged with the feeling that, yes, there's a God out there. So we grew up with that. I believed in God, and I was sure there was a supreme, intelligent being, a loving and personal being, but, you know, whatever relevance that had to what I did in my life, I didn't know. It was kind of separate from what I did. So I was very impressed with how the Hare Krishnas made their philosophy an integral part of their life. They actually lived what they believed. And this was something I'd always had difficulties with. Jesus Christ in the Bible preaches, you know, give up everything and follow me. And the ultimate essence of his teachings was, you know, love thy God with all thy heart and all thy strength, and love thy neighbour as thyself. And if this is the ultimate teaching of Jesus Christ, well then why aren't people following it? And I couldn't see Catholics, or people using the word Catholic to identify themselves, they weren't doing this. And I don't mean to be condescending, I don't claim to know what's in the heart of people or what they're thinking, but as in my own life, I certainly wasn't following this teaching as a Catholic. I certainly wasn't giving up everything and following Christ, and I certainly wasn't trying to love God with all my heart and all my strength and all my mind. I just wasn't. So that's a pretty heavy commandment as such. So the Hare Krishnas as a group, I really saw that they were genuinely trying to do that. So my experience of the Hare Krishnas were that they were the best practicing Catholics that I had met. So the Hare Krishnas were the first group of people I actually came to know who could explain to me something so important to me as in the animal question, and also who could make the connection between, yes, there is a God, and what's that got to do with your life?
We believe in the law of karma, which is simply the law of action and reaction. It's a very fundamental law of nature, as it is. It's not even considered to be a spiritual law. It's just the law that governs our bodies and our minds. We also believe in reincarnation, which means the transmigration of the soul, or the fact that the soul can go from one body to another. At death, the soul leaves one body and enters another body. The law of nature of reincarnation is intrinsically linked with the law of karma, in that in one lifetime you will have a balance of good and bad activities, and therefore you've set yourself up for another body, because maybe you haven't worked out the full scale of your activities, of the reactions that you're due to suffer or enjoy. We enjoy good karma and we suffer bad karma. So if a person isn't practicing spiritual life and dedicating their whole life to God, then they're involved in the cycle of karma. It's considered a material cycle. And therefore, they're going to suffer or enjoy according to how they act. So if someone practices spiritual life at the end of their body and they've been perfectly pure in their practice and selfless, they don't come back to this world again or take another body, but they go to the spiritual world. But if someone has material desire and isn't really interested so much in spiritual life, then their desire is actually to come back to this world again, because that's what they enjoy. So they're given the facility to take a body in this world, a body that suits their kind of enjoyment, but based on their karma. If they've been exceedingly bad, they won't get a very good body, or they'll get a body that's going to suffer an awful lot.
I wasn't really very alarmed, except at some stage she kept talking about them, and this was when she was finished, and I remember thinking, I'd love her to get away. And I remember looking up the paper, the Times, one day, and seeing this ad
for teaching in Spain. So I remember saying it to her, and she didn't respond very much, but later she came along and said she was going for this interview, and she did, and she got it. So I was delighted, actually. I was delighted because I said, this will be, she'll be out of the country and she'll get over this thing because she won't come across them. So I really was happy for her going to Spain. But they did keep in touch with her. They rang with her before she went, and I know they sent books here before she went, which I thought was a bit much, but I felt, well, once she's gone, that's it. But I discovered they did keep in touch, and Anne did keep in touch with them when she was in Spain. I don't know how regularly, but certainly she did.
When I finished college, I had an overwhelming desire to travel, to sort of think about things, discover more, meet other cultures, and see how all this had a bearing on the relevance of God in my life and other things. It was an adventure. It was the freedom of leaving college, no more studying, and just getting out there and having a good time. So I hitched around Europe, and then I came back home to Ireland, and I visited the temple, visited the Hare Krishnas again, and got some more literature and read up more about the philosophy. And it began to be even more interesting and more attractive. But still, I mean, the last thing I had in my mind was to go up and join a temple. That sounded far too restrictive and far too difficult for me. So I went off to Spain to teach English for a year, and it was so beautiful that I stayed for 2 years.
I was not personally aware of her interest in the Hare Krishnas when she first embarked on that venture. I knew that she was delving into the various religions and reading books and so on, and from talking to my wife, we just wondered, as any parent would. But I wasn't too surprised. I mean, it's normal to probe at that stage of one's life, and it didn't bother me in the slightest. In fact, looking back on my own youth, when the penny catechism was the Bible of the day, and there was hell and heaven and the devil and mortal sin, and sex was the be-all and end-all of our Catholic religion, I rather welcomed the fact that I had a child who did not take things for granted, who queried her religion, queried other religions, queried life, made up her own mind.
I was 25 when I came back from Spain, and I was faced with the decision of going back to Spain again for a further year because I'd been offered a job there for as long as I liked. The question was, what now? What was the next step going to be? The other option was to go to and spend some time in the Hare Krishna temple in Belfast. Now, I had visited the temple before. I had spent a week there. The Easter I was home in the first year in Spain. While I liked it, I found it a little too rigid for me at the time. The reason why it was, I found it difficult getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, simply because I wasn't used to that. I also found it difficult to stay in the one place for a whole week. That was difficult. It was like a retreat period. But I'd been so used to flitting off here and there at the slightest whim. Staying in a temple, following a regime, which was, I thought, quite strict. I found that all difficult at first.
When she came back from Spain, then, after her first year, she really floored me, I think, when she said she was going out. She came home, I think, at Easter, and she went up to Belfast. And that was most unusual, like to come home for a holiday. And I think she spent practically a week up there, which gave her a very short time at home. That I did not like. And I thought, this, she certainly hasn't forgotten them. They're still there. And I gather, like, that they had been in contact all the time. I didn't like that. I felt like this is going, like, what is she doing? And I remember talking to Anne, I'd say, for hours on end, getting nowhere. We had the same old arguments, and I was accused of tunnel vision and the usual, because I couldn't understand why, if she, as she said, she wanted to do serve God, she felt they did it better than we did. And I said, like, we're all human. There's some good and there's some bad. But why she had to go to this, what I kind of said, was an alien culture. Not that I have anything against them. They're very good people. From what I hear, they're charming, they're good, they do all the things that we do. So that I just can't understand why she had to go outside our framework to do this.
After that week at Easter I spent there, I was glad in one sense to go back to Spain. But I found that when I'd gone back to Spain, memories of that week kept recurring, and it was, looking back on it, it was a very special experience to me. It was very a good experience. And so I thought about that a lot, and I tried to imagine myself as in practicing a lifestyle like that. So I tried to imitate some of the lifestyle, as I said, in Spain, and it increased in the second year in Spain. I did try to chant and try to think more and pray more about God in my life and sort of ask for some sort of direction. And I tried to be more conscious in how I live my life, about more conscious, like the Hare Krishnas are, they're Krishna conscious, try to be Krishna conscious too in things that I did. And I found that I did develop a much greater peace of mind, and the niggling feeling that was always in me for years and years, like a niggling feeling, yes, there's a God, so what? What's that got to do with my life? How do I make the connection? This niggling that had gone on for years was pacified. It began to taste good. It's difficult to describe it, but it felt right. I felt I was on the right trail. This is it. This is the road I should be following. So when I came back from Spain then, I thought, you know, why not give it a try? Otherwise I'll be speculating about it for the rest of my life. Why not go spend some time there? So I said I'd stay for a month and or two and see how it went. And I've been there 6 months now and still saying I'll give it another month.
A temple community is in Sanskrit called an ashram, and the word refers to a spiritual community, people who come together solely for the purpose of spiritual life, to practice together and live together while they perform that practice. Men and women live together in the ashram, but they're strictly separated. The rules of spiritual life are strictly adhered to in the ashram. There's no illicit sex, that means sex outside of marriage. And even married couples who live in the ashram don't live together. There's no intoxication, which includes tea and coffee, alcohol, cigarettes, etc. And any form of drugs, whatever. No meat eating, which includes fish and eggs also. And no gambling. We also have a very regulated daily program, which begins at 4:30 with the congregation coming together for congregational chanting and worship in the temple. That whole morning program goes on until 9 o'clock when we have breakfast. During that, we spend about 2 hours in personal meditation, which for us is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra on beads to ourselves. And also we meet together at different times for chanting, singing different hymns and songs, etc. And we have a scriptural class. We have 7 services throughout the day, not all attended. Just the morning and evening services are basically attended by the whole community. So we have, practically speaking then, a monastic lifestyle, both men and women. And we practice it, you know, together like that. Men and women perform the priestly activities. Women are as qualified priests as men are. They take part in administration, etc. So we're all integrated members of the community.
The routine in the temple wouldn't suit everybody. It can be a bit rigid. for some people. And that's why Hare Krishnas wouldn't just allow anybody to land on the doorstep and decide to follow the routine or follow temple life. They have to show some hint of sincerity about spiritual life before they can join a community, because it's a very special atmosphere, and if you can't contribute to that atmosphere, it's an atmosphere of Krishna consciousness. Like, and if you come in with a completely different consciousness, you really do upset all the other people trying to practice spiritual life.
If someone wants to join the Hare Krishna movement, there are certain considerations. One is that they have to be of age to make their own personal decision and legally be seen to be able to do that. Another thing is that they have to be genuinely interested in the practice of Krishna consciousness. That means that for some good period of time, they have to have been practicing, reading the books, they have to like study the philosophy and know what it is. They have to have associated with devotees and, you know, come regularly to the temple, etc. And another consideration is that the local devotees where that person is attending will know that person personally, and they will recommend them. So it's not kind of a whimsical thing, and it can't be. If the person fulfills the criterion, and they are genuinely interested, and they have practiced for a good length of time, and there are instances where people have come forward wanting to join, and we've said, most instances are like this, we said, best stay outside for some period and practice at home, you know, and then it's a very serious decision, then see how you feel about it. Because we're very interested that the person makes their own personal decision, you know, that it comes from them. Then if that's okay with them and they are quite sincere, then they can join the temple community for some period.
I didn't actually tell them how long I was going for. I just went up to Belfast and stayed for a week, and my parents asked, well, what are you doing now? And I said, well, I'm just staying for a little while in Belfast. And so it was a little while and another little while and another little while, until they realised I'd obviously made some sort of a commitment to myself and the Hare Krishna movement. And the subject was broached, but it wasn't such a shock, because by this stage I'd been with them for about a month. So I said, you know, there was a showdown, and Mum sat down and Dad sat down and Anne sat down, and Dad said, well, what are you doing with your life? And Mum said, yes, Anne, what are you doing with your life? And I said, well, I'm spending some time with the Hare Krishna movement in Belfast to see if this is a thing for me. It's a trial period, and I'll make decisions after this. And in a nutshell, that went down all right.
I wasn't in the slightest shocked when I heard that she might live in the temple in Belfast. My philosophy is that we all try to do something which makes us happy, whether it be through our work or maybe doing a mundane job which provides the wherewithal to make us happy in our leisure. Basically, we begin our day by trying to do something which pleases us, and we hope to end it by looking back and saying we've done something worthwhile. If that is what Anne is doing, and she's happy, well, I am happy for her. I appreciate that her mother is worried, has been worried, and is worried. Maybe it's strange, but I am not a bit worried.
I don't understand it. I can't understand it. It's a rejection of all that. I felt that we were handed something. My great-grandparents, my parents, we were brought up in a certain way. And I feel it's turning your back on something that was very important to me. And as I say, there's nothing wrong, but I feel she has turned her back on something that was precious to me. It was handed to me I carried it on, and I had hoped to pass it on to my children. And she has rejected it, I think.
Yeah, as you can see, they're banging their bells and shouting some funny names. I mean, that's no way to get to heaven. They're just disciples of Satan, that's all I'm going to say.
I just think they brighten the place up an awful lot, you know, and just make it dead colourful and stuff, you know. It's a good atmosphere. Like the music as well, the wee bells and stuff.
Well, to me, they're hiding the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray at night for them. And these people, the Christians, are what they call the Antichrist.
I don't know, I don't think many people just take much notice of them. They're just expected to be here every Saturday.
People mainly see the Hare Krishna members on the streets when they're out chanting Hare Krishna. That's called Harinam, or chanting the holy names.
I think they're a bit outdated.
Ugh, they're not bothered.
Rubbish.
They don't bother me at all, I just ignore them.
Not allowed to say no, unfortunately. Sorry about that.
Whatever gets you through the day. I don't know. Shall I? I don't know. To get on like that in public? I think it's stupid.
I think they're a bit crazy, actually, myself.
I just don't understand them at all. Look like a right pack of idiots.
The mantra we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we've become famous for. It's a very simple mantra. It's called the Maha Mantra in Sanskrit. It means the greatest mantra. It's considered very potent. Basically, there are three words, Hare, Krishna, and Rama. Hare invokes the energy of the Supreme. It's devocative of the word Hara, which means the energy of bliss, God's energy of bliss, or his energy to enjoy. Krishna means the one who attracts everyone to him. And Rama is a very beautiful name for God. It means the reservoir of all pleasure. And by chanting God's name, we come in contact with him and become purified.
We had to avoid them. We had to walk away down a long way to avoid them.
I never see them. I live in Bangor. They're not there, thank God. They can stay up here.
Well, they're not really doing anybody any harm, except dancing in the middle of the street. But I don't like them, but I suppose they're not doing anybody any harm.
I respect anyone's right to make their own case for their own religion. I'm a Christian, so obviously I wouldn't sympathise with it entirely. But I do respect anyone's right to make their noise. And I do feel it's a bit of a noise. I don't really appreciate it as such, as the way they express it, but they've got their rights.
We go out chanting Hare Krishna on the streets, mainly because we are a missionary movement. And we want to share the chanting with everybody else. And people may or may not accept it. That's completely up to them, but it's our right. And it's one form of preaching.
They're better than the Christians.
I am one.
Of the Hare Krishnas?
Yeah.
They're excellent.
They're brilliant. No, they're brilliant. I think they're really good.
They're brilliant. They're really happy.
I think they're fine. They're okay. They make a bit too much noise, though. They're nice.
I would think that, yeah, it wouldn't be my cup of tea. I wouldn't want to be going around chanting in the streets, meeting people in that kind of way. That just wouldn't be me. But I think for her, I'd know that that really appeals to her, and she would have a sense, yeah, this is part of me when I'm there. So it's not so odd, or it's not so out of the ordinary for her, and that she enjoys it. And I presume that's why she still does it. She gets some kick out of it.
Now, when I first arrived at the temple, yeah, I definitely thought, this is a renounced life. This is not for me. This is heavy stuff. I couldn't do this. But now, it's difficult to describe, it's very subtle, but there's an inner feeling of peace and, yeah, this is right, this is good, this is spot on. This kind of feeling of inner well-being that I can't say I feel it every day, but every so often you get a hint of it, and that hint is enough to make you continue. You get this feeling, yeah, this is right. And that makes it less of a renunciation. You begin to actually develop a taste for a life like this, and that all the things you found so necessary before, like going off to see a film or read a novel or stuff your face with chocolate or go have a cup of coffee or, you know, go out with a boy, all these things, well, before they were overwhelming, well, they weren't actually, but they could have been overwhelming steps to take before going into a temple, they don't seem to be so important anymore.
She said to me one day recently, it's the same God, regardless of whether it's a Catholic God or a Hare Krishna God. And I was quite interested in that statement. I feel that the God, whatever God it is, will respect Anne's wishes, reward her lifestyle, and her giving of self, and her lack of material want, which I think is the curse of this world, namely greed in every shape and form.
A person accepts initiation after some period, usually after at least a year of practicing Krishna consciousness, following the right way of principles, and chanting on beads regularly for about 2 hours every day. So once they're seen to be able to maintain that for a good period of time, and that they feel that they want to make more of a commitment, then there's an initiation ceremony where they choose a guru, and the guru accepts them as a disciple, a spiritual master, accepts them as a disciple, and they get a spiritual name, a Sanskrit name. It's just a name of God or one of God's devotees, and it means you're the servant of that person. And they take their vows at initiation. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. And they also vow to chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna on beads every day. A round is when you chant the mantra 108 times, and the beads are 108 beads. So to go around that 16 times, as I say, it takes about 2 hours.
To join a movement like the Hare Krishnas is bound to cause upset and hurt in a family, particularly by the way it's been advertised or the way it's known in society at the moment. People don't understand exactly who the Hare Krishnas are or what they're doing. And because of this ignorance, all sorts of ideas and misconceptions arise about them. And on the basis of these, families can be hurt and deeply by maybe a daughter or a son getting involved. But at the same time, everybody has to make a decision in what they're going to do with their life and how much you want to live your life for your parents.
I would expect the children to be individualistic. I am myself rather individualistic. Perhaps was afraid in my day to query at school, and so on, and my job is not done. As regards religious matters, I grew up with the old penny catechism, which sent me to bed at night with the knowledge that there was a hell there where I would burn if I did anything wrong for all eternity, that punishment was everywhere. It was the inward punishment for sin. And I could never understand, even to this day, why a creation could leave us in fear, as it left me growing up. Fear of sin, fear of death, fear of hell. I've got over all that. I don't worry about those things now, as a rule. I feel that the God that is there, whether it be a Hare Krishna God or a Catholic God, no matter what God he is, he's just enough to see that there should be a reward for effort. I can not understand, even to this day, what is the purpose of all this suffering being put into the world and having to continually strive to be perfect when with one flick of the wrist the whole thing could be sorted out by this creator, whoever he is or whoever she is. I did not go into detail in my reading or delving into religions. Perhaps Anne is doing now what I might have liked to have done, but didn't bother.
I did consider becoming a nun, especially when I was at school and the later years of school life. I gave it serious consideration, and it has always been sort of at the back of my mind. And even now when I'm in the Hare Krishna movement, I often try to compare life in a convent with life in the Hare Krishna movement and wonder, oh, why could I not practice spiritual life within the, well, within the confines of Catholicism as such? But, and you know, if it would help to alleviate the hurt my mother might feel because of her inability to get beyond the label Catholic, if it would make her happy for me to keep that sticker over my head, why could I not do it? Well, it's difficult because now that I have got so much knowledge, so little, but it's a lot for me, you know, the knowledge of animals and all living entities having a soul, knowledge of reincarnation, and have experienced a form of worship that I find all-encompassing and I like, it's very difficult to take anything less. And convents, as far as I understand their life, do offer less.
I always want to them freedom of choice. I never pushed anyone into anything, or we never suggested anything for any of them. Yes, I would always want it, and that's why I get this back at me, because she is doing what she wants. But I just never thought of, I suppose, a change, the whole change of cultural everything. I thought that they could do that and be happy within the framework that we grew up with. I find it very hard. I don't know. I really don't know. I love to know she's happy, but I just don't understand why she has to do this.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
If you enjoyed this documentary, you might like to listen to our other Documentary on One productions. Visit rte.ie/docon1.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.